Hello, folks. A long time no see. We are very busy at the moment. We're getting as much out to you as we possibly can as a kind of our way of a festive giveaway. We dropped Michael Giacchino earlier, and now we bring you Francis O'Connor and Abel Korzanowski, who join me to discuss Emily. Francis wrote and directed the film, which Abel provided the score for. It's a fictionalised version of the life of Emily Bronte, portrayed absolutely to the detail and so brilliantly by Emma Mackey, and concentrates on her romantic relationship with the curate William Waitman, for which, in fact, there is no evidence that such a relationship ever occurred. Now, I'm afraid I had a little bit of a mic malfunction, which means I'm only on Zoom quality. But no matter, it's Francis and Abel you want to hear from, so let us begin with one of Abel's gorgeous cues from the movie, The Strange One. To both of you for taking the time to come and do the podcast. I really appreciate it.
Oh, our pleasure. No, it's so lovely to kind of talk about it. It was kind of the kind of experience where we kind of had to make it happen quickly. So it's not actually nice to have a minute, isn't it?
To reflect, I guess. It's that kind of thing where you,
thank you.
There's not an awful lot of opportunities, I imagine, to kind of get the opportunity to kind of take a breath and then kind of, you know, talk about the experience. Francis, I'm going to start with you, if you don't mind. Abel, if that's okay, I'm just going to want to, because I think it'd be lovely for our listeners to kind of hear about the, I don't know, when you were writing the script, if you had a sound in mind. And I know that music played a big part of this film in terms of, you did this wonderful thing with your cast where they danced to music every day before, you know, they went on, you know, before they started performing. And where music started, the journey of music started for you on this project?
Yeah, I mean, I've kind of grown up with music. Like, my mum was a pianist and my sisters, you know, were in orchestra. So I've kind of grown up with music being a big part of my life and a big part of how I, when I write, I always listen to music and, you know, the kind of correlation between music and emotion in film. I just love that. And and so I knew I definitely wanted to have music in it, and I knew I wanted to have something that could be delicate but could also be very muscular at times. And I think when Abel and I kind of met that first time, we kind of talked about the idea of experience, about Emily experiencing different things, and that the music kind of reflected that and kind of expressed that as well, you know, very much her inner life, I think.
Thank you. What kind of thing were you listening to when you were writing, if you don't mind me asking?
Oh my God, so many different things. Abel Kosnowski was, no, definitely Abel's music. Everybody from like, I mean, even like things like Radiohead and classical music, Beethoven, Mahler, you know, just different stuff on in the background, stuff that kind of would get you in the mood for writing. I love Bach. So yeah, anything that kind of helps you get in the mood to write, I guess.
Because one of the characters in this film is nature, is this landscape, is this place where they live and grow up, and the land and the sounds of that land as well. They're so intrinsic. I think it's so important to the emotion and the story of this. And that must have been interesting in terms of that beautiful marriage between score and sound design. And Abel, I'm really interested to hear about your reaction to reading the script and what it was about this project that you really connected with and why you wanted to be part of it.
When you mentioned the landscape, I think there is so much subdued beauty in this picture that, you know, it's not something that's incredibly attractive on its face. You know, it doesn't scream at you, it's not upfront, and yet you have this incredible calming image in front of you that makes you kind of attuned to a different sensitivity. And this is the perfect setup for Emily Bronte, you know, that this unsettling mind who cannot just stay in one place and has to test the boundaries constantly. And at the same time, the social structure is so rigid and so mundane that it's everything that makes her scream, basically. So this was the main draw, you know, this very sophisticated balance between the internal life and what we're allowed to express on the outside. But really, the scene that absolutely knocked me out the first time I saw the footage was the what am I playing game, the parlor game that they do in the first half of the picture, where they you know, they just wear a mask and people are trying to guess who is this person behind the mask. And once Emily takes it, suddenly the film, you know, gets off its wheels, you know, because because we cross this moment of make believe. Is it still just acting, or have we just crossed into supernatural? And I think this to me was such a concentration of what film as an art form can do in terms of, you know, playing with acting, but, you know, the lead is actually incapacitated by wearing a mask, right? So she doesn't even have a face, just her voice. And we see everything we see emotionally is reflected on the faces of her co-stars. So it's, you know, it's to me, it was just mind boggling how beautiful it was and how expressing the idea of imaginary life being so vivid and strong that, you know, it basically could be more than the real thing.
I mean, I think what was interesting about that scene in terms of music is that originally when we cut it, we were just going to kind of do it with sound. And then at a certain point, I thought, I wonder what it's like with a little bit of music. So we kind of like tried some different things. And I thought, you don't want to kind of like, sometimes you don't want to help the audience too much, yeah. I think. But it just felt right that there should be something there. And I remember the first time, because this is my first time through the process as a director to kind of work with a composer. So I remember when Abel said, oh, I've written something for the mask scene. And then just hearing it, I teared up instantly, you know, because it was just so moving and so beautiful. And that really didn't change at all, I don't think, during the process. It was just kind of pitch perfect. yeah, I think Abel really understood what that scene was. So, and it also kind of elevated it again once the music comes in.
When you were composing for that particular scene, Abel, are there certain, you know, the score across the film, there's got to be kind of fluidity between it sonically sort of thing. And, you know, and we see these kind of, these different moments of Emily. You know, another scene that I absolutely adore is the scene with her brother when she's hanging out the washing, and that kind of, you know, that's absolutely stunning. And there's kind of, it's the kind of light and shade of the character and the journey the character's making, but also the journey that the music's making. And was it really obvious for you, or the journey that you went on in terms of the instrumentation and how big or how small the kind of the melodies and the score needed to be?
The score has a very particular place in the story. And I think when, Francis, when you talk about the mask scene, had it been a purely realistic social drama film, then this kind of score could have been too much at times, right? If we talk about pure realism and naturalistic view. So my thinking was that if we try to restrict music to kind of period appropriate, like the society, we would be really just painting with the same brush and having not really contributing to how to tell the audience that what's going on inside, mm-hmm. you know. And I think the beauty of this arrangement is that with Emma's incredible performance, that, you know, she has on her face so much, and when she's angry, and when sometimes it's like a child, you know, mm-hmm. you know, I don't like new people, you know, and it's just wonderful. But the point is that she was still much more, and to get the insight to her inside imagination, this really gave us a reason to go with score much more than we would have otherwise, because, you know, we have those elements of church organ in the score, which kind of gives us this connection to her cultural background, you know, mm-hmm. that she's properly religious and everything, and she would like to be accepted and follow the rules. She just can't. But at the same time, we have all those wilder elements in the score, like very aggressive violins, which at times are just like hitting the strings in a very sharp way. Mm. The scene when Emily tries drugs, for example, right? We have her close up of her iris, and then the sound is both trembling, and on top of that, we have this element of sharp violin hits. So this was a way to give us a sense of how extraordinary this character was. And obviously, parts of the score, there are parts of the score which connect more with the period. And we have a lot of neo-romantic feeling and beautiful piano performances, which, by the way, I have to plug in the wonderful Szymon Nering, who was a finalist of the Chopin competition, and we looked really long to find somebody of his stature, you know, of his skill to perform this score, because we needed to have something real, not just a pianist. We had to have a performer. And I lost my train of thought right
now. No, I just think what was great about Szymon was he was so expressive. We went to Poland on the 27th of December, and we were very lucky. We had this fantastic recording studio.
We had Christmas trees inside. Remember?
And the orchestra was surrounded. They still had the Christmas trees up, but they'd taken all the decorations, so it looked like the orchestra were performing in a forest. it felt very, very fitting. This pianist was just incredible. This young guy, how old was he able? Like 26 or something?
I think that's right.
That's such a beautiful energy to him, and he just played so expressively and with such feeling. So, and I think that really helped for those.
And for him, this was actually probably his first recording of a film score, because he's a concert pianist. You know, this is how he performs. And, you know, suddenly we threw at him a recording with a click track, with, you know, playing different takes, giving him notes, yes, right? How to play, but it was great to collaborate with this level of artistry.
The other thing was, which I thought was just so great, was when Abel kind of had suggested this idea of using choir, a kind of a young choir for these young voices that also kind of expresses Emily's inner life, and that that Abel kind of peppered through the score. And I just think it was so inventive and fantastic. And they even sang some lyrics from one of Emily's poems as they're running in the rain. And I remember the first time I kind of saw that sample, I was like, what? But it so worked. It was just, there was something about it that was so unique and perfect for that moment. So, yeah.
The austerity of the landscape, right? Comparing with this overblown score, which, you know, like...
kind of like youth kind
absolutely
of...
Absolutely inappropriate, but expressing her, you know, this is how she was.
Yeah. And also that kind of fantasy world that she has, of like being in her imagination as well. Like that's her inner soundtrack, I guess.
It's lovely because it feels like everything kind of really resonated around her, you know, in terms of the piano, obviously, you know, she plays the piano and all those kind of different elements, they've all got a connection to the character, whether that's an emotive connection or whether it's a physical connection as well. And I love that you commented about Emma Abel, because, you know, Frances knows how blown away I was by her performance. I just think she's extraordinary. And I wanted to ask whether Emma's performance, you know, kind of how much that inspired and influenced what you can put, you know, what you wrote.
Well, all of it. Absolutely. I think it continues to be the main source of inspiration when I watch the acting and see, you know, what's underneath the skin and how those emotions can be sometimes amplified with the score. So once I remember the first impression of Emma's performance, it was just sparkles, you know, fire. And I hadn't known her at the time. I had known Sex Education, for example. Mm-hmm. So I made sure I wouldn't watch it until we were finished with the movie, because I didn't want to see her as someone else, you know. So throughout the project, Emma was only Emily to me, and this is how I kind of was learning her, how she becomes, how she breathes, and everything. So this is the inspiration.
It's a slightly awkward question to ask with Abel being here, but I wanted to ask Frances if there was a particular piece of Abel's work or a project that was the thing that made you go, this is who I really would love to, you know, to do the music for.
I've loved Abel's music for so long. So, I knew I kind of wanted to send it to him, and I waited till we got the cut really as good as I felt like within the time constraints, because people are like, you need to pick a composer. But I waited until the cut was really strong, and then I just sent it to him. And we just got very lucky that Abel, I think because of the pandemic, a project had shifted, so he suddenly had a piece of time free. Mm. So we just got very lucky, I think, with Abel's availability. But I love how the music that Abel writes is so different for every film. You know, like every score has its own character. And then also his scores are so full of emotion. Mm. And yet there's a kind of eloquence to Abel's work, I think.
That's sorry, the awkward bit. It's the awkward bit over now.
You may keep going, you know.
No, really, when Abel said he was going to do the film, we were just over the moon, because I knew the score needed someone kind of virtuoso who could really take this story and hold it with the music. And that just requires, you know, somebody of great skill. So, yeah, So yeah, we got very lucky.
If I may, it is quite rare for a director to actually to even attempt to have a score like this, which basically goes beyond just working in the very background. So yeah, this was one of the elements that really draw me to the picture, because I saw that Francis is really not afraid to actually and understand how music can be used efficiently and, you know, not take away anything from acting. You know, they shine when they need to, and score doesn't really need to amplify any of this or fix any of this, but there are just moments where music can kind of transport us into a different reality, like the scene when Emily talks through the sheets with Branwell.
I love that score. I love it.
Which is
one of my favorites.
It's so poetic. The whole image from the purely, if you look at this as an idea, you know, a direction, it's so poignant the way it's happening, and there's so much poetry in this, and you know, it's we just and music doesn't work there as kind of underscore reacting to their movements or something. It's just like a piece of their reality which kind of flows with them and is pliable and gently coexists with them. So I was really surprised, you know, that to see so many scenes that already had music kind of written in them on the script level.
I think this is a time where, Francis, we talk about you for a second, because I think that the choices that you've made in this film across the board, you know, with so many things, you know, in the edit, with the shots, with your casting, with the score, I think it's such an accomplished piece of work. I think that the decision to write this version of Emily, the decision, you know, all of those decisions that you've made as a director, it's crazy to think that this is your first feature film, because it is so accomplished and it's so powerful. I think you've just made the choices that you've made are absolutely brilliant, Abel being one of them.
That was a good choice, I thought.
I felt like a breath of fresh air, and it feels so exciting as well to kind of see and enjoy your journey as a director from this point on, because this being your first, it's like, wow.
Oh, thank you. I really, really appreciate that. Yeah, I'm just interested in cinematic storytelling that is like that is emotional and moving and exciting. And that doesn't necessarily have to mean it's a Marvel film and it's like a $100 million film. You can make something that's exciting and emotional, that's personal a little, but that feels universal and big all at the same time, so that it can be as exciting an experience as a big kind of Hollywood film, but it speaks to the audience in a way that's also kind of satisfying, I guess.
Yeah.
I'm just in love with making films after making this one. I just want to
Good. And Abel, that scene that you talked about though with the sheep where they kind of, you know, they don't sort of, you know, don't want to see each other. And it's heartbreaking. It's kind of I was in bits watching that scene, and it's so just, you know, even as a standalone, it would almost be a gorgeous short film in a way, just that scene, because there's so much in it. Yeah, it's almost so simple in a way, which I know it wasn't. What you've created in that one scene in itself is just kind of pretty extraordinary.
I think that's just like one of my favorite scenes in the script. And again, it was just one of those scenes that how I saw it in my imagination, it got realized on every level. Like, you know, some scenes you think, okay, that's almost what I wrote. But you know, like just because of the way things go, but that scene in particular was exactly how I saw it in my imagination. Even like the way the wind blew the sheets and you could see the hills in the background, and then this beautiful music coming in, that was also kind of like undulating like the wind, I think. Just got very, and then the performances too of Emma and Finn that day, they were just so on.
With you know, when Emma sings as well, Abel, I was interested to just ask you about her voice, her singing voice, you know, in that scene where she's singing the hymn, and whether you kind of that kind of inspired anything, because we obviously there are voices within the scores, as Frances has talked about actually, and I just wondered whether that kind of tonality of her or anything within that was an inspiration.
Well, I don't really dissect a personality like this, that I don't notice her voice separately, mm-hmm. and to me it's just hard not to take her as a whole, and you know, to me it's really more about how she responds physically as a whole. I remember the scene when she already has this grave argument with Waitman, and he tells her that, you know, that basically there's something evil in her, and screams at her, and she has this bounces back, and you know, these are moments that are so precious in films, because they're actually they are genuine. They make us feel to the bones. There's so many of these moments that make Emily precious, and that make Frances that you just brought those performances, and obviously were so attuned to look for them, and it's amazing.
Mm. Before we finish, we're run out of time, sorry. The band that the cast danced to on a daily basis, what kind of music were they playing? I'm so like jealous about their morning dance.
Oh, dance sessions. And they had a dance instructor who kind of was doing like routines and different things. So drums, and they had like, I think like, I don't want to say bongo drums, but you know, the big, is that a bongo? I don't know.
Bongos.
And then bongos and a guitar. And there was a piano there as well. So I think they mixed it up. Yeah, it was, well, I kind of let them have their moment by themselves when they would dance every morning. So, it sounded like they were having fun.
Who wouldn't?
Yeah.
Yeah. Perfect start to the day.
Yeah, definitely. We should all be doing that, I think.
Yeah.
Post-pandemic. I think
definitely. Sign me up, please. I think you could tell I love the film, and I am genuinely excited about, you know, what you do next. And I hope this is a very powerful collaboration between the two of you. So I hope we see that continue down the line as well. And I thank you so much for your time.
Love it.
Pleasure. No, pleasure. And it was also just such a pleasure working with Abel. It was very special. Yeah.
Likewise, Frances. Yeah. As well. Oh, yeah.
Thank you so much, Abel. Thank you, Frances. Take
Pleasure
care.
Pleasure to see you again. All right.
Yeah. Bye, guys. Thank you.
From The Score to Emily, that's Rondo 3, rounding off this latest episode of Soundtrack with Francis O'Connor and Abel Korzanowski. My huge thanks to Abel and Francis for taking the time to talk to us. Emily is still in cinemas now. Please do try and seek it out if you can, and also available to buy on home ENTS formats. As I said, we're releasing extra episodes over the Christmas period, so make sure you head to edithbowman.com to subscribe. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram and Twitter. We're at Soundtracking UK, and feel free to send me an email, info@edithbowman.com. Next up is the fabulous Alejandro González Iñárritu to talk about Bardo, False Chronicles of a Handful of Truths. That's coming this Friday, and I very much look forward to the pleasure of your company then.